Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
Toy Department time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Matt. Wait, you're Matt Kolsky. I'm Derek Madden. Yeah.
Where we are approaching episode 200, and I don't think you've ever done that before.
No, not even in like an outtake that we didn't use. I don't think I've done that before.
We're using this. Did you think this was going to be an outtake?
Oh, no. This is staying in for sure.
Okay, cool.
We're going to try to do, I don't know if we want to call this a mini episode, but we don't, neither one of us has a ton of time. And we do have a lot of things to talk about today. So we're going to try to breeze through quite a few things that we watched over the last couple of weeks, including John Mulaney's Netflix special, Medical Police on Netflix. Dying to hear your opinion about that. Leslie
really?
Jones.
Okay.
Yeah, Black Man at Last. Well, just because I don't and I don't want to get into it yet because I think we should maybe do Oscar nominations first. But I am curious just because I don't know where you're at necessarily with that kind of comedy. I know you like some of the people who are on the show, but I just don't know. Curious to see what you thought.
Okay.
So anyway.
All right.
But first, let's jump into Oscar nominations for 2020. Because obviously this was sort of the big story in our world this week. We are movie people. I just sort of wanted to get maybe some of your overall thoughts. Some of these I think are well established. Should we start? Let's just start in Best Picture. I want to caveat this by saying neither one of us has seen 1917.
Correct.
Which we're going to put on the homework this week. I'm very excited because I have seen all the other Best Picture nominees. I'm not going to have to do a bunch of homework to get ready for the show this year.
Oh, good for you.
Anybody in this category jump out at you as a fraud? really great unexpected inclusion.
I mean, several of these things jump out to me as frauds, but I think we've talked about all of them. And I don't know if fraud is the right word, but I think my three favorite movies of the year are here.
That's good.
Aren't yours?
Yes. I'm going to say yes. Yes to that. And I liked Queen and Slim a lot, and that was not represented, and I did not expect it to be, but Parasite's probably my third favorite.
Yeah, okay. Well, so part of this is part of this is expectation, right? And you're probably right. I mean, maybe I should say three of my top four are here. I've heard really excellent things about 1917, so I'm not going to crap on that. And we've talked about how we feel about The Irishman. I've talked about how I feel about Marriage Story. You liked it a lot.
Yeah. One of these movies I literally walked out of.
Right. So without stepping foot in it, I imagine Little Women is a bit of a fraud. I think Joker and The Irishman are both probably frauds.
Yeah,
on here.
Honestly, that's the thing to me is as much as I didn't like Little Women, like I'm willing to sort of accept maybe that's me. I definitely seem to be in the minority on that. To me, Joker and The Irishman are the bigger frauds. Again, bigger than the movie that I walked out of. Like Joker being in this, included in this, is insane to me.
It's a joke.
Like, you know, whatever. I thought the Joaquin Phoenix performance is a little overrated. But if you're just talking about him in the actor category, okay, fine. It wasn't my favorite performance, but I get it.
That's like moderately viable.
The idea that this is a complete movie seems a little insane to me. And I feel like this is just sort of the committee doing the, well, God, we don't have a ton of a box office firepower here, so let's make sure we have a hit movie in this category.
Was it a big hit?
Yeah, yeah. Joker made a lot of money.
Okay. I guess. Was Ford v. Ferrari not a pretty big hit? Because that strikes me as the...
It wasn't, actually. So, I mean, well, I'll look up the box office on that, but I...
That's annoying because I don't think it was that to me is the sort of classic. I didn't think it was one of the best movies of the year, but it was certainly good. And we both enjoyed it. If I recall, the acting is solid. It's like a classic Hollywood movie.
Yeah. Made $111 million. So decent, pretty solid. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a big hit though.
No, you're right. But I mean, look, Jojo Rabbit, Parasite, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and, you know, by reputation and by most people's opinion, Marriage Story in 1917, these are the best movies of the year for the most part. Absent Queen and Slim, which I don't think either of us expected to see anywhere here. So, this is better than a lot of years, don't you think?
Yeah, like, I don't have a problem with the year overall. I mean, I think if you're asking me about issues, we talked about Joker, but honestly, bigger than Joker's inclusion in this category, to me, is, you know, the category that's kind of linked with Best Picture, Best Director, right? Like, I don't, no offense to Todd Phillips, who I'm sure is a lovely human being, and I loved Road Trip and everything, but like,
Todd Phillips. Hangover?
Or Hangover, sorry. I think maybe Road Trip 2. I could be wrong about that. But his inclusion in this category, I don't know, seems a little fishy. Over Taika Waititi, you know, again, I didn't like Little Women, but if you're going to say it's a great movie, Greta Gerwig is a conspicuous omission.
Taika Waititi, I mean, I didn't see that, so fair enough. And certainly, as the category is once again 100% men, it would have been a welcome addition.
Yeah, where's Noah Baumbach in this category, for that matter?
I didn't think Marriage Story was his best work, but I'm actually a little offended that Taika Waititi is not on here.
To me, that's a much tougher feat of direction than like, I mean,
it's such an accomplishment of direction, that film, I thought, and if you're going to recognize it as a great film, I don't see how you could possibly not recognize the direction. It doesn't make sense.
And even if you don't have a problem with Joker, the movie as constructed, like, it's a pretty obvious just kind of like homage to 70s movie make. Maybe that's why they were into it, right? I don't think it had a lot new to say. Like, it was just kind of doing a thing, right?
No. I mean, I do think, you know, this is at best a three-person category. I can't imagine, unless they give it to Scorsese as some sort of weird, you know, who knows what these clowns will do.
Yeah. I sort of feel like, I mean, I think it's going to come down to Scorsese and Tarantino, right? And I kind of feel like maybe we've never given Tarantino an Oscar.
Yeah.
So this might be his time.
It's an incredible movie. He deserves it. But if there's and again, we have not seen 1917, so Sam Mendes may be a worthy candidate as well. But I thought, I mean, Bong Joon-ho as well.
Yeah. I mean, I love Parasite. And I will say, you know,
that's another feat of direct. That's both Parasite and Jojo Rabbit are movies that I don't know how you watch them without deeply considering the directing. If you're like a real film person,
yeah,
you know?
And look, we haven't seen it, but I think 1917 is the same way, right? It's this movie feels like it's one continuous shot thing that's supposed to be really pretty amazing. So, so I don't know. We'll get into that next week, I suppose.
Yeah, hopefully we'll talk about that in a week.
Okay, so Best Actor. I kind of want to jump in here because it feels like there are a couple of surprise inclusions in this category, right? Mm-hmm. Antonio Banderas and Jonathan Pryce, like, where do those come from?
I haven't seen the movies. I've never heard of Pain and Glory. Do you know what it is?
It's a Pedro Almodovar, which probably is how it got some of that recognition. It's nominated for Best Foreign Film as well. Which it's not called Best Foreign Film anymore.
97% on Rotten Tomatoes, 88 on Metacritic.
Yeah, it's probably pretty good. But it's just kind of out of nowhere, right? Yeah.
Well, I missed that, and that's on me.
Yeah. What's up with this?
To get to.
Speaking of miss, like, I mean, obviously she won the Golden Glove. What is up with this Judy Garland movie that's supposedly not supposed to be that good? Is like Renee Zellweger that transcendent?
I am halfway through it for purposes of the SAG Awards, and my answer would be not as yet.
I want to congratulate you for getting three categories into this discussion without mentioning that you get screeners. That's I would have taken the under on that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I do get screeners. And I have watched some movies as a result of that.
Yeah.
And I have to say, we'll get there. Performance by an actor, again, this one's tough for me. Does Leo have a best actor? Or just a supporting?
Didn't he win for The Revenant?
I can't remember.
I feel like he did.
He probably did.
I'm going to look it up. It seems like Brad Pitt is getting the buzz as the guy that hasn't won an Oscar that, you know, is kind of due.
Well, I agree he's due.
Yeah, but Pesci, I think, is also going to be tough in that category.
And I have to tell you, Pacino, that's as silly as The Irishman being nominated for Best Picture, if you ask me. I don't know much about Jimmy Hoffa, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't an Al Pacino impression. So, I don't know.
And look, as much as I dislike The Irishman, I would have no problem with Joe Pesci winning this particular award.
Nor would I, but I have to tell you, one of the movies I watched is A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and Tom Hanks is exceptional.
And he's also Tom Hanks, which means you can't possibly rule him out, right?
Correct. Now, the movie, I think the best thing I can tell you about the movie is what the Oscars are telling you, which is Mr. Rogers is a supporting character in the Mr. Rogers movie, which is curious and pretty frustrating.
It's definitely the central complaint that I've heard about it.
Yeah, I mean, and I had heard that going in, and I was like, I don't know, like, it could be an interesting story about a guy, and it's just like, I guess it is, but if they did that, they should have cast somebody shittier as Mr. Rogers, because you just want more Mr. Rogers, because Tom Hanks is exceptional.
Yep.
So this is actually a loaded category other than Al Pacino. And obviously, we have not seen The Two Popes, but apparently both guys are good in it.
Yeah, we haven't seen The Two Popes, so not like it's not accessible to us. So.
Yeah, it's not homework either.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, honestly,
maybe we'll get there eventually.
This is the worst reason, but like Young Popes has just kind of ruined my desire to watch Pope movies. Young Pope, I guess. It's not plural.
Yeah. And now there's the new Pope, which is the young Pope, which we got very confused about last week. And I don't know if we're going to watch it or not.
Yeah, I'm so scarred. I don't even want to watch a Pope thing.
Well, neither of us finished the young Pope. Yeah. So I don't even know.
Yeah. No, I was never going to finish the young Pope.
Yeah. Should we move on to the ladies?
Yeah. And then I'm curious. To me, this is there's some heavyweights in this, but I don't know. Like,
there's two more films I saw that are relevant now. Well, I guess we talked about Bombshell, so you knew I saw that.
Yeah.
But I saw Harriet last night.
Is Harriet even like in theaters?
I don't know. It was. I know my parents saw it in the theaters.
Okay.
But it's hard to talk about without spoiling it a little bit.
Really? I feel like the events of Harriet Tubman's life are somewhat in the record at this point.
Pretty well documented. Except okay, well, tell me this. Do you know, when you think of Harriet Tubman, I mean, obviously you think of the Underground Railroad.
Yeah.
anything else come to mind about her?
The sad part is now the $20 bill is what I think about. You're asking me like the first two things I think about.
But I mean, like, her life, do you know anything else about her life other than that she was a conductor on the Underground Railroad?
No, you're right. That's pretty much the main thing I know, that she's a hero, you know?
Right. So I have no idea how much of this story is true. One thing I certainly doubt the specific veracity of is in this film, Harriet Tubman has accurate visions of the future, which are attributed to, well, she attributes them to God. And the film sort of attributes them to her getting her head cracked open as a child.
How do you think that device is going to play with me?
Yeah, man, I'm saying she has like spells, basically, where she sees visions of the future. And it sort of plays a critical role in some of her leading escape slaves. And I just didn't know how to feel about that. Like I said, I just saw it last night. I haven't really had a chance to research if that's like something they just made up entirely on their own. But it sure felt like bending over backwards to create like the magical black person out of
a
actual historical figure, which just made me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, and like that's just so much license to take in a historical biopic, isn't it?
Right, right. And it's not like, I mean, I might be making it sound more ostentatious than it is.
Sounds pretty damn ostentatious.
Right, but because it's like flashes of things. Like, it's not like she sees the future in like a crystal clear scenes and then lives it. It's like flashes of warnings of what's coming. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's still
that almost makes it sound more unnecessary to me.
Yeah, it feels totally unnecessary. When obviously in reality, this. But then again, I don't know. And maybe Harriet Tubman in her memoir talks about that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I have no idea. I also did not know she served in the Civil War.
Yeah, no, didn't know that.
As a spy and led a battalion of African American soldiers in a particular raid or battle, and is like one of the, you know, a relatively short list of women in history to lead an entire sort of campaign.
I feel like if we're going to keep playing Do I Know, it's only just going to expose my general historical ignorance.
Well, I didn't know any of this stuff. and I assume that stuff is true. I mean, and she lived till like her 90s. She's a remarkable woman. And
I knew that.
Yeah, and that's why it's curious. Cynthia Erivo is very good.
Yeah, and we're fans
also,
of her.
Also, we talked about, obviously, Scarlett Johansson being quite wonderful.
Do you think the fact that she's nominated in both acting categories is going to work against her?
I think it probably works more against her here than in supporting.
Oh, interesting, because I feel like supporting might be a lock for Laura Dern.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard Kathy – I have not seen Richard Jewell, nor will I.
And it's supposed to be terrible. Richard Jewell.
I've heard Kathy Bates, though, is really quite phenomenal.
I've heard that, too, but I don't know if it's going to be win an Oscar phenomenal.
Okay. I just think Scarlett Johansson – I mean, I wouldn't even have – obviously, I've not seen Little Women or Richard Jewell. I would not have considered Laura Dern or Margot Robbie in this category.
Yeah, I don't know. By the way, shouts to Margot Robbie, who could easily be coasting to a fine career just based on her looks and is –
Oh, no, she's really good.
Is a really good actress in a lot of stuff. She makes smart choices.
Yeah, I'm not
even
saying
she doesn't. She's not going to win this.
and I'm not saying she doesn't deserve to be nominated. Yeah. I'm just saying between the films I've seen, again, I thought Scarlett Johansson was exceptional in Jojo Rabbit.
And I will say, as much as I didn't care for Little Women at all, Florence Pugh was my favorite performance in the movie.
Well, she's a great actress, too.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything here? You know, we talked about at least my take that, that Laura Dern might have supporting actress locked up. Is there anything, do you see any locks on the board?
Just look at these I think nominees. It's a pretty competitive year. Yeah, me I mean, too. I think if you go to some of the other categories, I mean, I guess I haven't seen Pain and Glory, and maybe I should respect that. I would imagine Parasite is a runaway favorite for Best International Feature.
Yeah. I mean, usually if you're in the main Best Picture category as a foreign right. film, that's pretty close to a lock. And likewise,
but Almodovar makes it interesting.
Don't bet it. You know, you never. You know, Pixar in an animated feature category is usually a pretty safe bet too.
Yeah. What I
Toy Story 4 would be their entry.
Oh, I did not see that. I don't know that I saw any of the animated features. How to Train Your Dragon. No, I did not see any of those.
Is it interesting to you that Ford versus Ferrari got a Best Picture nom and then but no acting nominations with those two big stars in it?
Is one of them the supporting actor?
I don't think so.
Right.
Am
so,
I missing
so
one?
Then, not entirely. I mean, yes, in as much as Jonathan Pryce and Antonio Banderas kind of came out of nowhere for me, but I would have expected DiCaprio, Driver, and Phoenix to all be ahead of those two.
Yeah.
I think they take a little shine off each other. And again, it's not, I think what hurts that movie probably everywhere but Best Picture is that it's not in any way that like exceptional or spectacular.
Yeah, it's fine. It's
like
pretty good.
Nice. It's like a nice, you know, ground rule double of a Hollywood film.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Nice is probably the best adjective for it. Yeah. It's a good movie. I don't know that it's a historic movie in any way.
No, exactly. It's not. We're not really going to look back and remember this as the year of Ford v Ferrari.
Yeah. But man, I do think that this is going to be like if you're a person that does Oscar pools, and I definitely am, this is going to be one of the hardest years ever because I do think there are a lot of really competitive categories with the.
On the other hand, one of the most wide open, you know, anybody can win. Roll the dice.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that sort of seems like maybe we'll get some surprises.
Oscars parody, right?
Oscars parody. Yep. All right. Can I ask what you thought of Medical Police now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you honed in on it, you know, you don't know, like, what you're really asking is what do I think of this kind of comedy?
A little bit, yeah. For those of you who are totally unfamiliar, Medical Police is the new Netflix, I guess it's a 30-minute comedy. It's from the same team that did the Adult Swim show Children's Hospital, which was kind of a parody of Grey's Anatomy-type medical dramas.
And I would say it's in the... It's in the vein of a Reno 911 of, you know, like it's that kind of shit.
Yeah, it's over the top and a little silly. There's a little, like, I'd say some, like, Airplane influence, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. And this show, I guess, takes place in the universe and has some of the same characters as Children's Hospital, but is more a parody of CBS crime procedurals.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And if, like, if we're doing, like origins, you know, Airplane is the origin sort of this type of comedy. The analogy I you're giving me an opportunity to use one of my favorite analogies. If Airplane is Green Day, this is like Sum 41.
Okay.
And Airplane is Green Day. They rock. I mean, Airplane is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know? And this is funny sometimes.
I'm trying to think of
I'm not sure it's much better than that.
I'm trying to think of a slightly better pop punk band than Sum 41. No offense to Sum 41.
I deliberately did not go to Blink 182 because that to me is the middle ground.
Yeah, it's somewhere between the two, I think.
Yeah, it's like south of Blink 182.
Yeah.
And I never watched Medical or Children's Hospital, but maybe The Naked Gun is Blink 182.
Yeah, you know? Maybe that's what
it is. The Naked Gun trilogy.
Or like Hot Shots or one of those.
Or Hot Shots. Yeah. There's a series of like Blink 182 level stuff. But I'm not sure there's ever been another Green Day. Like, Airplane is sort of the best idiotic comedy of all time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. This is not creative enough to rise much above Sum 41, if that makes sense.
But what it is, you know, if we can talk about, I think, some of the strengths of it. Like, yeah, it's aggressively silly. And so, I don't know, your mileage on that may vary. But it's a lot of really likable, funny people. Some of them just kind of breeze in and out to do weird things. You know what I mean?
Yes, and the main cast, Rob Hubel is really quite adorable. But it is just so stupid. I mean, like, get very high.
Yes, agreed. This is a show you could definitely get very high for. And I did not. I watched this sober, but...
Yeah, and there are laughs. There are laughs, but they're like dad joke laughs.
Yeah, there's definitely a fair amount of like wordplay.
Yeah, there's some groaning. Like, you're laughing, but also groaning.
Yeah, some sight gags, lots of dick jokes. You know
lots
what I mean?
Lots of dick jokes.
Yeah, but I love jokes about TV conventions, and there are plenty of those. So this thing it's sort of up my alley.
Yeah, and it's 22 minutes, like. It's not the worst thing to bang out at the end of the night if you're looking for a giggle.
Yeah, if you need and I use, you know, we talked about Schitt's Creek in the past, like it's kind of how I use that show hey, it's late at night, I'm going to put on some Netflix, like as I may or may not drift off to sleep, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Perfect for that. Perfect
definitely.
For that. So
I can't argue with that.
All right, let's switch gears to a slightly different Netflix comedy. We got a lot of Netflix comedy to talk about this week, I'm just realizing.
Yeah.
John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch. This is also a parody of TV convention, but it's more of the after-school special is the wrong word, kind of like the Electric Company, PBS kids show of the, like, early 80s sort of vibe.
Yeah, it's more like a Saturday morning special or something. Than an after-school special. Although, like, the joke here is it's too real, I think, right?
Yeah, there's some moments of real vulnerability.
Right. It's the conventions of a light, mildly educational Saturday morning kids special. But it's, like, all too serious about intense things in a funny way.
Yeah, and you have to be ready for, like, you have to like precocious kids, I think, to enjoy this
you
show.
Sure do. But I do.
I do.
I like, you're right. There is, like, a caveat somewhere, but I was delighted by this.
Yeah, I would say, look, some of it, too, your mileage may vary on how you feel about John Mulaney's sensibility.
Yeah.
But if you're into that, you'll really enjoy this.
It really, some of the deadpan stuff he does with the kids is just exceptional. There may or may not be the son of a Jackson 5 member on the panel.
Yeah.
There are some hilarious guest stars.
The Jake Gyllenhaal
amazing
thing at the end. And I don't think I want to say any more about it than that, but it is it's hilarious. Yeah.
It's hilarious. And David Byrne makes a couple of appearances.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, there's a lot to enjoy here. It is not in any way a standard comedy special. And you're right. Like, the laughs are almost all not subtle exactly, but like off kilter. Like, there are very few straight ahead jokes in this thing. But I was laughing for almost throughout.
Yeah, a lot of it for me. And I also really enjoyed seeing David Byrne kind of cut loose, because it's not like he's a super serious guy per se, but there's something about him that is just sort of like tight, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, even in the context of his, when, you know, because Talking Heads music, I think, is a fair amount of sense of humor and whimsy.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still definitely, like, in this like tight package. Like, it's hard for me to imagine David Byrne not wearing a blazer. You know what I mean?
I assume he always.
And he's wearing a blazer in this.
He's like Barney in How I Met Your Mother. He has like a.
Like
a
he sleeps in
blazer.
One, yeah.
Yeah. And, precise is the word I would use.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But yeah, he's very silly in this.
Yeah.
Everyone is pretty silly in this.
So yeah, it's an enjoyable time, and you know, it's one less than 60 minute, I think, special, right? So it's
yeah,
it's
it's around an hour, and really, yeah, it's certainly different. It's unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, look, this to me is one of the joys of the streaming era.
Absolutely,
is that there are opportunity for people like this to kind of just fuck around.
Yeah, Netflix can just hire a smart writer and comedian to do a weird, funny thing and see if it sticks.
Yeah. Did you watch the Eddie Murphy Saturday Live? We talked about it, right?
It is stored. I have not gotten to it.
Well, I don't want to ruin all of it, but there's
You know what? I'll watch it this week.
The monologue has a bunch of
I watched the monologue.
Okay, you did.
So where all the dudes come out.
Yeah, and yes. I forget who it is, but somebody who's like, this is half of Netflix budget on this stage right here was...
I think it was Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Yeah. and funny because it's true. You know what I mean?
It is absolutely true. And we're still waiting for that, right? When does that come out?
The Eddie Murphy specials?
Yeah.
Soon, I think, yeah.
I think it is soon.
Yeah, that'll be... I'll be fired up for those for sure. All right. More in the world of Netflix comedy. Leslie Jones.
Uh-huh.
Had a comedy special.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
Really?
Maybe that sounds harsher than I mean it, because I'm not saying it wasn't funny. You know what I mean? I just felt like it was like B-minus Leslie Jones. I've seen her be funnier in Weekend Update spots than she was on this stage. But it was like there are plenty of laughs. Like it's not unfunny at all. Like she's up there doing the thing. I don't know. Like I felt like a lot of it wasn't like particularly for a person who's really kind of gone through some things in the last couple of years. Like I felt like
it was
there wasn't a lot of vulnerability from her in this, and I missed that.
Other than jokes about her age, and jokes about her behavior as a much younger woman.
Yeah,
it is not particularly personal.
Yeah,
I did think it was hilarious. I mean, I laughed a lot and loudly. Like, I don't know. B minus feels rough to me. Mm. I thought it was.
Well, I said B minus.
Maybe I'd go B plus A minus.
Okay.
Like she's a super funny lady.
She's quite funny. Like I'm not here to dispute that. I just feel like there's another gear for her, and I've seen her deliver it, and I'm not sure I saw it here.
Okay. Well, I don't watch a lot of Saturday Night Live, so I was not picturing a funnier Leslie Jones, and I really liked it. It's raunchy, not generally vulnerable humor. So I understand why you don't want to like give it an A+. It's not like some soul searching masterpiece, but I thought it was really funny.
It's the kind of thing where it's like, I laughed at jokes about 20-year-old pussy versus 40-year-old pussy, but like, yeah. Okay, those are pretty standard pro stand-up comic jokes. You know what I mean? And I guess
her read on it in funnier ways than many people have told it.
Here's the question I'm asking, because we were just talking about sort of the amount of this sort of thing on Netflix and some of the names that we tossed out in. You know, with people like Mulaney or Eddie Murphy or Chappelle or I don't know, where do you rank this special in the hierarchy of some of the many Netflix ones I've seen or that you've seen?
Well, I mean, it's probably not Chappelle or
right. Like, isn't it in the B tier? Kind of.
I liked it better than Bill Burr.
Yeah, I liked it better than Bill Burr, but I liked it less than most of those people I mentioned.
Well, you mentioned like three of the greatest stand-up comics in the history of the art form.
There you go. Those are the A people.
Yeah, those are the A plus people. So yeah, but like I don't know, B minus felt harsh to me. I'm going B plus A minus.
All right, I'll give it a B.
Like, if you like stand-up and you like Leslie Jones, you'll enjoy this.
And I'll put it this way. Like, if she comes out with another stand-up special, I'll watch another one. Like, I wasn't like, this is terrible. I just thought it was a B. Thought it was pretty good. Pretty good. You know
what
I mean?
All right. Okay. I'll accept that.
Yeah. All right. Last black man in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for realistically shot San Francisco movies. I think I've been on the record with that a number of times. So
yeah, so that is obviously a huge appeal for both of us, and I don't know how far that goes for most people, but
yeah, I mean, look, not only right is it realistic San Francisco, it's also San Francisco that is very rarely on film.
That's right, and it's not just realistic San Francisco in the way it's shot. It's a very real story about gentrification.
Yeah.
And kind of a beautiful and odd story. It feels very like auteur. The lead actor, you know, created the story and goes by his own name. And I have no idea how autobiographical it is, but it has a very, I mean, it just, you feel his struggle intimately.
Yeah. Auteur, I think, is the right way to put it, because it is definitely feels like a singular vision and a little oddball. You know what I mean? Which are not necessarily bad things. I don't know. Maybe that bit sounded like it was a bad thing. I didn't really mean it that way.
No, I mean, I think we both enjoy that.
Yeah. I sort of like those things. I like that those things can exist and filter out into the world.
They're totally unique characters in this film. Certainly the sort of main supporting character is a totally unique character. And there's just so much. I mean, I won't spoil it. The ending is fascinating and sort of ponderous. And it just, I don't know, man. It doesn't have the same edge to its class commentary that something like Parasite does. It's more of like a meditation than a message, I guess.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a fascinating and really like oddly beautiful is what I want to say. Sort of meditation on issues of class and gentrification.
Yeah. This is one of those things too, where I feel like there's probably a really amazing story about how this movie actually got made. You know what I mean?
How it got made and even how the story came together. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it seems like it would be an odd pitch, you know, with people who had made a lot of movies before and a story that's not super easy to describe. So,
yeah, there were no actors or actresses I recognized in this movie.
Well, Danny Glover's in it.
Well, other than Danny Glover.
And Mike Epps, you know, Mike Epps.
Well, that's right.
And Tichina Arnold.
None of the lead actors, yeah. I should say. There were several cameos.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I definitely think it's an interesting movie that someone should see, is particularly if you have any affinity at all for San Francisco. But I would say it's a much more universal story than that, too.
Absolutely.
Barack Obama liked it, and he's not from San Francisco.
I didn't even know that. How did you know that?
It's on his list of best movies.
I didn't look at that. What else is on there? How'd Barack do?
You know what? I'd have to pull it up.
Let's pull it up. I'm interested now.
Okay.
Barack Obama movie list? Let's see.
Yeah, I'm sure if you get there.
Does he put TV shows on there too? Or just,
He does a separate list for TV shows.
All right. Okay, here we go. Movies. American Factory. Never heard of it.
Oh, that's a documentary. I believe that is streaming now, actually.
Oh, now Obama's yelling. Hold on.
Yep.
All right. Amazing Grace. Don't know what that is. Apollo 11. These are all these A's are documentaries, I think. Yeah. Ash is Purest White. Atlantics. Birds of Passage. Booksmart. Nice one.
I still haven't seen Booksmart. What is that out? Yeah. Like, I mean, sorry, is that streaming now? Because I need to see it.
I think it's on Amazon.
Okay.
Diane, don't know what that is. The Farewell, Ford v. Ferrari, The Irishman, Just Mercy. I'm going to watch that tonight, actually. The Last Black Man in San Francisco, Little Women, Marriage Story, Parasite, The Souvenir, and Transit.
Yeah, some stuff I haven't seen here, and you know how I feel about The Irishman and Little Women, but otherwise, pretty solid list.
Wow. His TV shows list is a banger. It's only 3 TV shows long. Do you know what they are?
I do. Well, so did you saw the whole Oscars thing, right? Or not Emmys thing, rather.
No.
So Phoebe Waller-Bridge referenced this list in her speech. You know, because there's a scene in Fleabag where she, right. So she's like, we're really excited that we made President Obama's list. As you know, he's on mine. Which she said at the Emmys, which I think is pretty amazing and a great way to sum up all of the, you know, and things. And while we're on this list, by the way, if you,
I can't really argue that those might be the 3 best shows of the year: Fleabag season 2, Unbelievable, and Watchmen. Those were 3 great shows.
Yeah, they were all on our list. And speaking of things on our list, he's got a lot of songs. But if you scroll down to this top 10, I had Not by Big Thief, which is his number 2, Juice by Lizzo, which is his number 4, Burning by Maggie Rogers, which is his number 7. 17 by Sharon Van Etten is on here.
You and Barack have a lot of color.
Yeah, we sure do.
You basically are Barack Obama. Has anyone ever told you that?
I could be. Could very well be. You know, he's not that much older than me.
That's true.
Which is scary to think about.
It is scary. Yep.
But yeah, strong list. Barack Obama's out there taking in the culture.
Get him, Barack.
All right. With that, we should really go. In fact, I know you got to go. So we do have a bunch of things for homework.
Did we actually clear everything? Just
we sure
there?
Did.
We did a nice job.
Sure did. So we're going to assign a new HBO show, and I think this is the name Avenue 5. Is that right?
Yeah. 2 new HBO shows.
Yes, and then The Outsider, which has already been airing. I think this week will be episode 3 and 4, I want to say, but I could be wrong about that.
Oh, it goes 2 at once?
But, you know, you got HBO Go, so catch up.
Yeah, I sure do.
We're going to go see 1917, as we mentioned a few times earlier. And then Awkwafina, starring in Nora from Queens on Comedy Central. That debuts Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then
sneaking in under the wire.
And the new season of Sex Education starts Friday, so we'll jump into that as well.
We are very excited.
So we have light slate of homework last week. We're going to load you up this week.
Heavy.
All right, let's get out of here.
Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.